Thrall. This is Marion Haberly interviewing Ethel Thrall.
You say you came here as a bride?
Yes, I came here as a bride in July of 1935.
Oh.
And I had married Donald Miller. And he is the grandson of John Miller, who I'll tell you about first.
Uh-huh.
And John Miller was in business in Lakefield where the Shell gas station is now, used to be a department store, and then there was two or three.
Wait, it used to be what store? A department store?
Yeah, they were called the Heaton Barnett store, and that was torn down. And above that, in the old days, and when I came in 1935, there were two or three other wooden buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And around 1882 or three, John Miller came to Lakefield, and he opened up what's listed up in the town hall as harnesses, trunks, horse furnishings, and repairs.
Oh, good. Let's... Okay.
John Miller came from Germany, and he settled in New York. Then it was during the Civil War, times were hard, and he had to go look for business. So he traveled in Troy and all over. He couldn't find anything. And he left his wife in New York, and he went to Amenia first and worked. And he didn't like it there, and so he came. That's how he came to Lakeville.
Oh,
and established his business.
Uh-huh.
And he had five daughters.
Oh.
But first I'll tell you, one of the highlights, and some of the older people like Miss May Bissell, who was one of the, lived in the May Bissell house, told me several years ago that in the spring, the highlight of the spring event was when the whip salesman came to Lakefield to sell Mr. Miller his whips. Everybody in town would say the whip salesman here would flock to the green, because the way he bought them, he would test every whip that he was to buy and snap them. And if they broke, he discarded them. And of course, he bought only the ones that were perfect.
That's great. That's interesting.
Yes. But he died in 1902. Well, the business had to continue. And he had a daughter who was called Helen Miller. And she had married Asa Thrall out in Olean, New York.
Oh.
And her husband had died at the age of 27 and left her with Donald and Virginia, twins. So in those days, what was a daughter to do but to come home to her parents? So she came home in 1902 and ran the business. But she couldn't make harnesses, so she got Mr. Charles Osborne as her harness maker, and he was the father of Gladys Bellini. That was Harry Bellini's first wife.
Oh.
And they conducted the business for several years until when the automobiles started coming in garages, there was no need for all this.
Mm-hmm.
So the business was just... they just went out of business.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And but then she had a hard time because, you know, in those days, what could women do?
That's right.
Teach school or do something.
That's right.
And there was no cafeteria at that time up at the central schools and the local schools. So she opened up her house at lunchtime and gave hot lunches just to the teachers. And she did that for several years.
Oh.
So this was a hot lunch, this house. She lived in this house.
In this house?
In this house.
I see.
They would come at noon in the dining room, and
everybody,
the teachers, that some of them around, like Betty Miner and Mrs. Tilly Fitz and all, and they ate here, and they said she was a marvelous cook.
Uh-huh.
In fact, after I came here, people would come and say to me, she would sell to the summer people her beans and her donuts.
Uh-huh.
And they'd come to me, and I'd say, well, she's gone. Oh, where are we going to get all those lovely beans and donuts?
Oh. About what time did she have the lunches here for the teachers?
Oh, I would say that probably around 1920, probably.
Uh-huh. And the school was...
I was up here.
The same one?
It was an old building.
Uh-huh.
It was an old building. And they came every noon.
Oh.
And then she finally gave that up. She was getting older, and Donald didn't want her. And another daughter of hers was Emily Miller, and she married Mr. Heaton of the Heaton Barnett store.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the connection in the town, too, because that's one of the oldest stores.
Yes.
And when I came, the Heaton Barnett store was like a regular department store.
It
had
was.
Everything. Oh, yeah, furniture, dry goods, 10-cent items, and everything. It was really a lovely store.
And you say it was located where the
shelf
station is? Where
the shelf station is now. It was an old wooden building.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Heaton got older, and he couldn't run the business, and Mr. Barnett was older, so Bill Barnett took it over. Finally, he had to give it up because with all these, cut low-price stores coming in around,
mm-hmm.
he couldn't buy and meet
mm-hmm.
their prices. So that was, and then, of course, eventually all those buildings were gone.
When he gave up the store, was there another one like it in Lake
No, Park? There was nothing. We had. Oh, wait a minute. When Bill Barnett gave it, Darwin Miller bought it for a few years and tried to run it, but he met the same trouble. It was the competition of everybody going to Delson's or going up to Great Barrington to the, you know, Zayers or something like that. They had to give it up. There was no need for it, but we still need it. We miss it because now when you want a spool of thread, where do you go? You got to run to Great Barrington or Delson's.
That's
so what's really needed is a store of that type.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so it's hard.
That's right.
And at that time also, when I came, there were two barber shops. There was Paul Argo and Chet Thurston. And Paul Argo was in the same building and practically where this harness shop was.
Oh.
And Mr. Thurston was up what we call now up near where the beauty shop up in towards...
Uh-huh.
Going towards Milton, that row of wooden buildings,
yes.
That was Chet Thurston's.
There's still a barbershop there. Is that the same place?
Yes, I guess Mr. Fidelli runs it. Yes,
yeah.
There is, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember in those days everybody had their cups with their names on it.
Yes.
And so that's one thing that, you know, that's gone. And then there was the drugstore, was called Mr. Leverty's Drugstore, and there was an old wooden building right on the corner as you go up there. Now it's that little park right by the old bank building. Remember that park? That was a big wooden building, and Leverty's Drugstore had it.
Mm-hmm.
He was in that building. And I think also near there was the plumber's shop, Harry Miller had a plumber's shop. And Mr. Leverty had a drugstore. He was a great man. A lot of people didn't like him because he was very gruff.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you come in, he was very gruff, but it really got to know him like I did. He was a very nice man, and I liked him. And the Hotchkiss boys used to go there, and that kind of annoyed him, because they'd buy a 5-cent Coke and sit at the fountain all afternoon, and he got that distracted from his other. So finally he gave it up, because he couldn't be bothered with that, you know, so he gave up the fountain.
And that store was where the little park is.
Yeah, that was there, and then Mr. Miller had a big plumbing business, and they're also Adolf, those Bauman and Garrity's had their plumbing, there were the two plumbers, they had their plumbing shop, but it was also where it is now down on Boswick Street.
Oh.
You know where it gets
from. Yes, I've seen their truck there.
That was the two, the plumbing. And then we had the, when you wanted to get candy and get your Sunday papers, you went up to the Jigger shop, and that is now practically where the laundromat is now.
Oh!
It was at the little store there.
Allen Street.
Well, it was on the corner of Allen and, Montgomery.
Yes.
And that was what we called the Jigger Shop. And everybody went there on Sundays and got the papers. And the kids during the week got ice cream and penny candy.
Uh-huh.
And then there was also another little store down here where the jewelry store is now, and the town owns the building. It was also called the Hub.
Uh-huh.
And that was another little store there.
Oh.
And of course, the grocery shops was the A&P store was down near where the Shell station is. That was also one of those buildings, an A&P store. And then Mr. Rudman had a shop where the apothecary shop is now. Was a very nice. And up where the laundromat is now was called Goldis's Meat Market, and that was a very exclusive meat market. He only sold meat and fruits and vegetables. That's all he sold.
Oh.
And that was where I guess what you call the lead of the town. And he bought their groceries. So he had three stores. It was good.
Oh.
So that was the business end of. But when I first came here, Salisbury was absolutely dead. There was nothing in Salisbury except a few stores, a drugstore, and a few others. But Lakeville was the hub of all the business. And then during the years, it reversed. Salisbury all of a sudden got everything, and we had nothing. You've been here now. There's more stores, but there was hardly nothing. There was no drugstore, there was nothing, hardly a grocery, one little grocery store, and it was too bad. But now with the people building up, like John Mobile putting in these nice stores, you know, he's got April 56 and the other shop across the way, and the dress shop, and the nice apothecary shop, we've got a few more businesses, which Lakeville needs, because Lakeville is absolutely dead.
Now the apothecary shop that Mr. Walsh has, it looks like an old building.
That was Redmond's Meat Market.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the meat market.
That was the meat market.
Yeah, that was the meat market.
Uh-huh.
And when the drugstore first started in Lakeville, it was across the street where Borden is now, and Mr. Gentile ran it. And then they moved it over across the street because Mr. Ford bought that building and put in his real estate, and then the insurance office was up there for a while, the Wagner McNeil, and so went back to Salisbury Bank.
So actually you had two drugstores, the one on that corner section and the one where Borden was.
The
other was more of a...
Well, when Borden sold, gave it up and they moved across, Mr. Gentile moved across the street.
I see.
So it was really only one drugstore, which we need.
Yeah. You know? Oh,
so
yes.
Lakeville is gradually growing up, which I'm glad, because it was dead there for a while.
Yeah.
You thought it was going to be a lost town, but it's really nice.
Well, I often wondered how you did, what you did get, because right now, as you say, you can't even get a spool of thread unless you go to one of the specialty shops.
That's right. It's sometimes you're sewing and you couldn't get out a thread and you think, oh my Lord, where am I going to get it? They do have a few in the grocery store down here, but it's never with the kind you want or the tape you want. It's something, so you have to run to Delson's.
Yes, that's right.
Or else make a big list, and if you go to Zayers or Great Barrington or Torrington, you get it, something like that is needed, but I don't know whether we can support it.
That's it. Well, people can move around more easily.
Oh, yeah, they have the cars.
That's
yes.
right. When you were a young mother and, housekeeper, was it easy for you to go out and shop here in Lakeville and get what you needed?
Oh, yes, I did all my shopping downtown. Mm-hmm. I did most all the time. Once in a while, we'd take a trip on a Saturday, and then we'd probably go to Great Barrington, Pittsfield, and then probably shop on the way home for our groceries. But most of all our groceries was done at the A&P, and they used to have the coffee in the A&P store in the bags, and they ground it right there. I don't know what A&P store does it. Their Red Circle, coffee, and the smell of it was so good. And
we were just talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, it was wonderful, and that was the A&P store, and we were sorry to see that go.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a popular store.
Yes.
And then of course the other one was Pop Redmond's too.
Yeah. Were there any restaurants here?
Well, there was just like there was a Gateway Inn, because that was a summer restaurant. That's up now. That's torn down. That's on the way to Millerton, and I guess that it's all torn down in there.
Oh.
And that was a summer resident where people came most of the years ago. Some of the family and sit on the porch and rock, that great big, that was torn down. Most was torn that down quite a bit ago, a long time ago.
Yeah.
And, then the only little, you could, I think at the Jiggy Shop, you could get sandwiches, light sandwiches. But then underneath these were the former harness shop was and the barber shop, there was you went around the side and there was a little store in there, and Bessie Miller ran a little store and serves coffee and sandwiches to the local. Well, the young men around town wanted some, the workers,
Yes.
And it was sort of a gathering place.
Mm-hmm.
And another gathering place was where the jewelry shop is now, those steps are in front of it. And my husband would go out at night, in the summer evening about 7:30, 6 o'clock, and he'd never come back until 9 or 10. I said, where are you? Where have you been? And he said, we were down in our stoop, And half the men in town would gather down there and talk politics and the town affairs and probably gossip and tell stories.
Uh-huh.
But there'd be old George Silvernail and Les Dufour and Lee Dufour and Donald Thrall, my husband, and some of the other men. They'd sit, and that was sort of a gathering place.
Yeah.
Everybody could see them sitting there. And Harry Bellini, they were all sit there,
Somewhere
to go and sit and gab. And then, of course, the lake was entirely different. It wasn't like when I took my daughter to the lake, or there was none of this nice beach.
Oh, I meant to ask you about that.
No, the beach was, if you go on further on the beach toward the land that isn't developed, that they own that rough, how rough it is there, and you go right down the water with a high bank and stones. Well, you had to sit on those banks and on the stones and sort of get down to the water, and that's where I used to sit and watch my daughter take her swimming lessons.
So
that was around 1940.
So they had nothing like the
had little. Dave Timmons had a little concession. What do you call him? A little building there that the town let him have, and he came every summer. He was away in the winter. He came every summer. He was there for years, and he had ice cream and candies and things like that. But it was just a little shack.
Oh,
of course, this is beautiful. All this, gifts and donations.
Yeah.
The children here don't realize what they have.
When did they start to develop it the way it is?
I don't know just what the date it is, but it's probably 20 years ago.
Yes,
15,
fairly recently.
Yeah, it's not too long.
Yeah.
It's wonderful now.
That's right.
It's really just like a city or a resort, isn't it?
Yes, it's a beautiful spot.
Yeah. Well, not, let me see where else they got it. Oh, and of course the dump was up in Salisbury.
Oh.
And that everybody went to the dump. Nobody bothered, had much of a collection. I mean, most of the people went up there with the stuff, but they liked to go because we always said we met everybody, and we should really have a cocktail bar up there because everybody was there. You could sit and talk, and the Erickson boys and were always friendly. They always ran out when you came there from their house or their barns and talk and visit you. So it was really quite an affair, you know.
Where was this?
That was up on Clark Hill in Salisbury. You go by the town hall and up that road quite a ways, and it was right up in there. It was land owned by the Erickson family, and then they took care of it. And of course, that just a few years ago, that was stopped, you know.
Oh.
They did, you know, wasn't, I don't know, sanitation reasons or what. Now this land, they have to take it away all the time.
I see.
And, I guess some people thought the burning, I guess, and everything, because it'd have to burn, you know.
Yeah.
Contamination. I don't know what the real politics behind it at all. But
is that that old farm that's there?
Yeah, it's called Erickson Farm.
That's up on the, it's beautiful. Going towards Selleck Hill.
Yes, it's a beautiful view. It's a beautiful view.
Yes.
But it was fun. And he always had ducks or something. The kids would like to come with you and watch the ducks, because he'd always show you the cows and the ducks. And then his mother, what we call Ma Erickson, lived in the house, and she wasn't very well, and Mr. Erickson would like, come on and see Ma, so you go in and see Ma. It was like a, I don't know, family affair. It wasn't cut and dry like it is today. You go and throw it in, and it's, you know, it's really nothing.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
Homey.
That's right.
And then, of course, down here where, on Allen Street, on the way to the lake, or across from the pond was what we call the old Beehive. That was an old big building, and the poor people in the town lived there. It was called the Beehive.
Now, where was
that? You know, where the, when you go to the lake.
Yes.
And there's the pond for children.
Yes.
Well, that, not on Allen Street, but across from the pond, there's some, the back, in back of all the drugstores that were up there, is where it was a building right near the lake, and it was a road, and the railroad track ran in there somewhere, and it was this old big building. Oh, many, it was wide, and a lot of families there, but that was called the Beehive. We called it, everybody called it the Beehive, and that's where some of the poorer families there had put in a cheap rent.
Is the building still
there? No, that was torn down.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, when the rail, and there always was railroad tracks there, because the Heatons lived on Allen Street, and it was my, always the sore spot on Mrs. Heaton's to have the railroad track and maybe a train or two or a freight train stop there over the weekend or something would be sitting there, you know.
Yeah.
And she always used to, you know, complain about it, especially her daughter, and she would say to her daughter, well, in time things change, don't worry about it. And it did. It was taken away and everything was made beautiful, that pond and the park.
Right.
And now there's no rail and the station is now the welfare and the family service building, and the trestle, all the stands of trestle, like I said, a few cements on that side.
Yeah.
So that's all gone, the railroad tracks.
Did they have railroad service when you first
came? Well, they must have had a little freight service from from Millington, because the freight cars are there for community service.
Uh-huh.
So they must have had, but they didn't have any. You had to go to Millington to go to New York.
And there were no passenger service up, say, to Salisbury
That was gone.
That was gone.
If you want to go up towards Pittsburgh, you went to Canaan or somewhere. Mm-hmm. But if you want to go to New York, you had to go to Milton. The train service then was better. You could go to New York, you know, and we did. And the trains are running fairly
But you had to get to Milton,
you had to get
say,
to Milton.
By yourself.
You had to get to Milton.
By
yourself.
Car or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you had to get by car.
How long did it take the village to fix up that area when the tracks were taken out, because it's a very attractive section.
When they got going, it really didn't take long.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they really went at it.
The Beehive, I guess, was taken down in its time, and then eventually the tracks were removed, and then eventually they had a trestle where you could cross with trains overhead, and that's part of the old railroad tracks where people walk now, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk there a lot. It's beautiful. Have you walked there? It's a beautiful walk.
That's in
Back of everything, you land up in Salisbury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been there,
It's a beautiful walk.
Oh, you can walk up
there? Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh.
That's the old railroad tracks.
I walked there
the other Sunday.
Oh.
It's beautiful. You can get to Salisbury, or else you can walk back, or else come through with down through the main drag.
Yeah.
Yeah, we worked that.
I've just noticed up where they keep the school buses.
Yeah.
That seemed to be where the restaurants were.
Yeah, that's where we go in. We go down here in Walton Street and we catch it there.
I see.
And walk it. It's really beautiful, though. It's quiet and peaceful. And it's nice, and it's for birds, and
It's probably just owned by the town now.
It's a town. Mm-hmm. But the store bits is part of the way up there, so the road up to there, you know, is pretty well maintained. But the other is a grassy path, you know, and they don't allow autos, bicycles and horses and people. So it's really, you ought to do it, try it sometime.
I will.
Yeah.
Did they ever have bus service through here for you?
Well, I remember is my sister, she lived out in Manchester, and she used to come, she wasn't married at that time, she used to come out here most every weekend because she loved it. But we always had a meter in Canaan.
Uh-huh.
And that's as far as it went, and she had to get here, and then we had to get her back, so there was no way of getting, you know.
Same way as
same
now.
Same way today.
Yes.
But I missed the bus because I used to go, if I was going home, someone would get me to to Canaan, and I'd get the bus, and someone would pick me up in Hartford. And my friends in Harvard, which I had relatives, they'd meet me, and it was wonderful. But now you can't even go by that.
No.
You're stuck. You have to have a car.
That's right.
And it's too bad.
That's right.
You
it's
have
difficult.
To have a car. Mm-hmm. And when my daughter was going to Russell Sage College, she'd come down and ride to Canaan, and I would meet her. And then when she worked travels in Hartford, I'd meet her every Friday night over there at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I don't know how she would come home. She'd have to have a car. To get here, to come home if she wanted to. And it's hard for young people because they can't afford those things anymore.
That's right.
So
right.
You know, it's hard for young people to live around here.
It's remote. Did you find that when you first came here that there were jobs and opportunities for the young men and women in town?
Well, not too many.
Uh-huh.
You know, there weren't too many. There are now. They had to go places and look for it, little factories around and that, or they had to do odd jobs.
Yeah. But what business was your husband in?
Well, he started out as he traveled for Bradley Smith Candy Company. He was a salesman for many years.
Then he
finally went into his own candy business. He had an office there near one of those buildings where the old harness shop. And then he gave that up, and he went into quite different insulation and roofing.
Oh.
That's when he was in Rock World, because the First World War came, and he went into that kind of business.
Uh-huh.
And that's what he did until his death.
I see.
65.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you mean the Second World War?
Yeah,
the
Second World War.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Let me see. I don't know what else have I got. The things my husband used to tell me they used to do, this is probably a funny thing, you can use it or not if you want to. There's a lot of businessmen, and he was a young fella. He was brought up Methodist, couldn't drink or play cards, you know, in those days.
There's
quite a few of some of the businessmen in town used to like to go to Poughkeepsie on Monday afternoon because they had a big auction. So they'd always ask him to drive because they knew that he could drive. He'd get them home.
Oh,
and he'd go with them, you know.
Yeah.
And
he'd be sober.
He'd take them to Poughkeepsie. They'd leave early in the morning. I don't know why they went to all these auctions. They were cattle auctions, but I guess they were having fun. And they'd get feeling pretty good sometime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mentioning any names. And one time he said it was very funny. They bought this pony. And they decided they were going to bring it home. And one of their friends who usually went with them, he lived in Amenia, was a prominent farmer over there, and he was sick and he couldn't go that day, so they said they would bring him a gift home. So they brought him a pony, which when they reached Amenia and his house, they just got the pony out of the car, went to the door, and the wife wasn't home, but they called up and he says, come on up and see me, you know, he wasn't that sick. So they proceeded to take this pony up the stairs, and they left it. I went home. I don't know what the wife said, but that's the kind of pranks they used to do. You know, some of the funny things in town. Or on Halloween night, when he was young, a bunch of them, young fellows, some of them that were sat on that stoop down there, said that they never did anything bad, but all the chick sales, you know what I mean?
Yes.
They took them all, one time they put them all in front of the Methodist church, so when Sunday came that Sunday, nobody could go, they were all lined up in front of the Methodist church. Those are pranks. I mean, they were pranks, but they didn't hurt anybody. Probably inconvenienced the Sunday service, and they had to put them all back again.
Mm.
But they didn't didn't do anything, you know, like they do like the candy with the pins in them and all that.
Yes.
You know, bad thing.
It wasn't vicious.
But it was a lot of funny little things they used to, you know. They had to do something.
That's right.
You know, they had to do something.
That's a typical country type of.
And my mother-in-law, Helen Thrall, she played the organ in the Methodist Church also when she was young for 25 years. She was the organist down at the Methodist Church.
Oh,
And she was one of the, not the original one, but one of the first ones that played in the Norfolk Choral Reunion.
Oh.
And also one of the first ones in the Salisbury Garden Club.
I see.
And then, of course, that when I came here, she wanted to go out and visit her daughter that was a twin in Seattle. And she liked it so well, and the climate was so much better, and she didn't like it, and she was arthritic, so she stayed out there, and that's how I stayed in this house.
Oh.
And ever since.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the reasons.
Yeah. It's a family homestead, then.
Well, it was a, you know, it's not way back to the Millers, but it was, you know, around 1920, I guess, or something. So it's more or less a family home. That's why my attic's full of stuff.
A lot of treasures.
A lot of treasures.
Yes.
But then also, I didn't tell you about our leading doctor. It was Dr. Peterson. And he lived down here in this corner house. It's always known the Peterson house. No matter who buys it, it's still the Peterson house.
Is that the house?
That's the one by Evelyn Dan. And that's Dr. Peterson.
Oh.
And he was a leading doctor in this town. Uh-huh. And all he charged was $1 or $2 for a visit. And sometimes he didn't get that from the very poor. A lot of times I'd be down there visiting because Mrs. Peterson and I were good neighbors and friends.
Yes.
Somebody would come to the door with some apples or potatoes, and she'd say, well, that's so-and-so paying for their call, you know.
Yeah.
And he was a wonderful. I wish doctors were like that today, because he was your friend,
was
your doctor, and he was your psychologist.
He took a personal interest.
He knew everything about you, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was a wonderful man. And his ill health forced him, you know, of course he was getting on. In 1949 he had to leave and he went to California and he died soon after. But the town gave him a wonderful reception before he left. I think there was 2,000 or 3,000 there. And I think he delivered around 2,000 babies.
Really?
Yeah. Lila Nash, I think she was the one that got the baby book up, and every baby, the picture of every baby in town.
Isn't that interesting?
And he delivered my daughter, Patty.
Uh-huh.
And the cost, you want to know the cost of that? He charged me $25. That was for his calls and my delivery. I was charged $5 for the delivery room. I was in a private room for 10 days at $7 a day. So the whole cost of my maternity was $100.
Oh.
That was in 1940.
That's a great difference.
That was in 1940.
Uh-huh.
And in 1971, my granddaughter Emily was born.
Uh-huh.
My daughter had the same treatment. Of course, she had the Sharon Hospital and the baby doctor in Sharon and everything, and it cost $1,000.
Yeah. I can believe it.
That was 31 years later.
What a change.
But he was a wonderful. And he was a very, doctor was very fond of cats. And he always had a lot of cats, and he always had his dog Mopsy, which everybody in town knew. But when he got older, he couldn't have cats, or he was afraid of falling.
Oh.
So when he wanted to, now he knew I always had a cat or two. Mm-hmm. And when he wanted to rest sometime, I guess he missed his cats, he'd call up and he'd say, could I borrow your cat for half an hour? I'm resting. And so I'd run down with a little kitten and watch and it would sleep with him. But those were the kind of things he did. He was very nice. And at that same time, I also had a German police dog. And I always got the Hartford Courant on Sundays, and they got the New York Times. So on Monday, I would fix the paper, put it in the dog's mouth with a string, and he'd go down there, and probably 10 minutes later, he'd come back up with it.
Oh, that's nice.
it was cute. We missed it, but you missed that in the doctor
today.
Now you go down, you're a number, and you wait.
That's right.
You wait, and you wait, and you wait.
I don't know if any place except really remote areas do you have a doctor is really a part of your
and
family.
And how many doctors come out on phone call?
He'd
come up to your house, he'd go all over. And of course, when he first came to town, when I knew him, he had the little car. Mm-hmm. They say when he first came, he had a horse and buggy.
Oh. It was Peterson. What was his first name?
Clark.
Clark Peterson.
Yeah, yeah. And his wife was Laura. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew him.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was an article in the Lakeville Journal, last week about the
May
Bissell.
Yeah. Well, her father,
they were doctors also.
They were before Peterson.
Uh-huh.
They were before Peterson.
Oh.
Or they might have been, as Peterson came in, they were probably going out. And there was also Mary Barnett's father was a doctor, but he wasn't doing as much practice as Peterson was the doctor when I came.
Yeah.
Everybody went to Peterson.
Well, these doctors had really quite a widespread practice because there's so many
countries. Well, that's why he had to have a car, and he went, I don't know how he do it. He's out all the time, you know.
Yes.
But they, and then, of course, it was only too recently we had the Sharon Hospital, you know. I mean, when
yes.
he first came, there was no Sharon Hospital.
Uh-huh.
But he was a great, he could diagnose things. They said he had been great just doing that.
That's wonderful.
He was wonderful. He was nice. He was a wonderful neighbor, too.
Yeah.
So that's the way the doctors were. So I don't know how much more I...
You certainly contributed a lot. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the Methodist Church and Town Grove. I was wondering what activities they had for the young people, like for your daughter. Now you say Town Grove was not developed that way. Did
well,
the church
had,
have
the Town Grove in the summer, they had life-saving, because Jeanette Axelby worked at the bank, and she was wonderful. She took the life-saving, and she instructed all the girls
they
in
did.
My daughter's era, and until a few years ago, she was a life-saver, because my daughter took lessons from her, and several years, and finally, a couple of summers, she instructed over there, too.
Oh.
Under the guidance of one of the high school teachers.
I see.
And, but there wasn't a child, I guess, that can't swim
yeah.
in this town.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I don't know, then they crossed with the church. She went to the Sunday, well, what is it,
That's what I was
wondering. What do they call it?
Well, at the Methodist Church, I know my boys went to the, what they call, MYF.
Yeah, that's where she went on Sunday nights.
They did
and
have a
otherwise, they went, like, the, they had, I know, I worked on the, when she was going to school, I was a I helped with the brownies when she was a brownie.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, outside of that, there wasn't much for young people. Skating on the lake and
sliding? Yeah.
There wasn't too much.
Yeah.
And
well,
there wasn't too much for young people. There never was seen to be enough for the jobs for young people.
Yeah.
It seems to me there was a little more housing there, and then we could find more random, more reasonable. Of course, everything was more reasonable then.
Yes.
You know.
That's right.
Now it's sad now because nobody can't find places and they can't find jobs, so they got to go away.
That's right. Well, without the business, they don't.
Too bad the opportunities aren't there. Yeah, so you know, one up in Salisbury, there isn't, and the one down here, there isn't much business unless you work in a store, or unless you're a professional lawyer, or a doctor, or a banker, or something like that. There isn't
Then how was the knife factory in operation when you came?
No. They were trying to experiment. They had different little businesses come there. You know, they tried to run it, and they had. And they tried, and they made skis there for a while, and some fishing lures, but nothing stayed too long. It didn't, I guess, didn't pay for itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I first came here, that knife factory was too bad. You know, it was bad.
Yeah.
But now I hear they're going to do something with it.
Yes, the paper is moving out.
Which would be nice, I guess.
Yeah.
Shops.
Did they always have a paper like the Journal?
Oh, yeah, the Lakeville Journal was here. Mr. Jones ran the Lakeville Journal in. Of course,
it's
grown. It wasn't, they didn't have all the local other towns in it then. It was just Lakeville. And the news, they always had a town news and everybody, like you went to Hartford today and so you had your sons were here for the weekend. It was really more town news. You could tell where everybody went or. Did, but they don't have that anymore because the news has got more sophisticated.
That's right.
And they're getting these articles.
That's right.
But it was kind of fun to read, you know.
Sure.
So-and-so entertained their sister or their daughters. And but it was fun. It wasn't as big. It was probably three, you know, just a
page. Yeah.
Now it's really a paper.
Well, I think it's an excellent
paper. It is. It's fun. And they have all the little towns, and they do
That's
have some wonderful editorials and write-ups.
Yes.
And they've done wonders with it.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Hoskins started it, you see.
Oh, yes. Stuart Hoskins.
Yeah, he started, and then these people have carried on, and it's grown still.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, I guess all the towns read it. They don't have their own paper, so all the towns get it.
That's right.
So
That's
I don't
right.
know what else you want to know.
Well, I think you've contributed a great deal.
I remember the first time when I came here in 35, I went to a town meeting and I happened to say something, and they said to me, you can't talk, you're not a native, and you're not a native till you've been here 25 years.
Oh, I've heard that expression before.
But that didn't bother me.
I think you've made it by now.
Well, I thought I wasn't native because I'd married into, my granddaughter is really the fifth generation, oh, they don't live here. Mm-hmm. She's the fifth generation. To have lived here, and even though she goes to South and people ask her about it, she always says, I'm a Yankee.
Oh, she does?
Oh, yeah, she says, I'm a
Your
Yankee.
Granddaughter.
And I always tell her that, someday, living down there in the South, you better watch your step because you better not say it too often, you're going to get in trouble. Well, she said, I am a Yankee.
She probably is a Yankee with a little bit of a Southern accent.
Well, she doesn't know that too much. Because my daughter married into the Rudd family, and they're an old family too, so she feels both sides that she's a Yankee.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's very interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if that's enough what you want.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. I'm just checking.
I probably forgot a half a dozen things. I try to tell you some of the, little things.
Well, those are the things that are interesting.
Because I was a Lutheran when I came, and I, there was no Lutheran church.
No.
This was the nearest where you could walk and do things. Mm. So I joined here, and I never regretted it.
Yeah. And the school has always been here.
Yeah, she always went. It wasn't two buildings. When my daughter first went, it was just one building, but they called the lower one, then they expanded. Uh-huh. Oh, also, when I first came here, right up where, I think it's where the upper school is, used to be called the town farmhouse or something. And some of the poor, very poor, they couldn't afford to live. They stayed there. And Mr.
Paul.
Stanton ran it. And I always used to say that I didn't have far to go because I just had to go over my hill to the poorhouse. I don't think they called it the poorhouse, but they called it the town.
Well, then
house.
The town really had provided some
we
sort
say,
of thing.
They did. They did. There was a few there. Yeah.
At the beehive, as you
spoke.
Yeah,
that was for the lower families that came for. I suppose what you call welfare families today, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they did have there, and then I don't know how that, they guess they didn't have enough.
Uh-huh.
And so that was given up too, and they built. Oh, of course, when they built the upper building, they had to tear it down.
It was
kept nice. Mr. Stanton kept a nice business there.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
There's a road near us that is called Old Asylum Road.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Do you know
why? Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know where the Cannon, Mr. Cannon built nice colonial houses? You go down Farnham Road and make the curve.
Oh,
and there's that white colonial
house.
That was the original townhouse.
Oh, really?
That was the original poorhouse.
Oh.
That's what I understood.
From what you, of course there are bushes around, but
of course it wasn't as lovely as it is now, but it was probably an old square colonial house, and the Cannons had loads of money, they could fix it up. But then when I came, that was out of use. It was up here. It was a nice family house, and Mr. and Mrs. Stanton Moran. They probably didn't have probably five or six people at a time.
Yeah.
But they were very kind, and it was a home for people like that that had no place to go. And what could they do? I don't know where they go now.
Well, they go on welfare.
Yeah, I guess so. That's it. Yeah,
I didn't realize that. I had thought maybe there had been an asylum on that road. Well,
that's what
it
was. That's what people
down.
Tell me. Before that came up here, that was the Portland House. Whatever they called it.
Yeah.
Poorhouse, I guess. We used to call it poorhouse.
That was the term. That's right.
So I don't know. I'll probably think of a lot of things.
Well, maybe you can jot them down and I can come again, but you certainly have given a lot of
information. Well, I try to think, of course,
I
can't go back as far like Mrs. Hodge now. She could go way back because she's got the family history and she's got the old house and everything.
Yes.
And where the apartment houses was her mother's house, you see where they lived, where that old apartment, the Vale apartments.
Oh.
And the antique shop, you see.
Oh.
I see. That's all.
Yeah.
That was her property.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And she gave the property to the, for the motel.
She sold it.
Yeah.
Her father or grandfather, somebody was superintendent.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, it's very nice, though, that there are so many of the old houses that have remained on Main Street.
Well, that's what I did. I didn't like that. And there was a contradiction last week, 2 weeks ago, Mr. Roberts wrote that, and it sounded, I took the same impression that McHugh did, that he wanted all the houses down, and I was wild.
I got that impression.
And I thought, well, there's your house, Mr. Roberts. Is it going down?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I never liked it when they took that beautiful house that Mr. Reverend Edmund lived in, our minister, that's now in back on Bissell Street. That was where the bank was now. It was a beautiful Victorian house, gorgeous, with a curved porch and that beautiful bay window where Carol and Dan lives now, you know. And that
They moved it back?
That was where the bank is now.
Oh.
At first they wanted were right here at the corner, across from the Peterson houses, that big colonial, Victorian house they call the Stan Sessual. That was where they wanted to buy for the bank, originally. And we all in this neighborhood were wild. In the first place, when the kids come home from school, the traffic is terrible when you come out of any of these streets. I have to wait sometimes 10 minutes, even for the traffic with no school kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the last person that could sign the petition because I was just 500 feet
mm-hmm.
from here. And we all signed it. We went to a meeting and we said we wouldn't accept it.
Uh-huh.
And they lost it.
Oh.
And it was hot up the town. You know.
Oh.
I remember my son-in-law got up and they had a plan. And he said, it looks to me like another Howard Johnson. They had a cupola on top, you know, and we don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So then they bought this, and I was wild even to see that lovely house move back, and they never fixed it the way it was originally with a porch and everything. They left
yeah.
It was a beautiful house.
And who did you say had lived in it?
Mr. Edmonds. He owned it. He was our minister before, well, Mr. Edmonds, Mr. Savage, and then...
Oh.
And,
oh.
And it was a beautiful, inside of the fireplaces you go in, and oh, it was gorgeous.
And they just picked it up and moved it back.
Yeah, they picked it up and built the bank. Now, I like to see that. And I don't blame Mrs. McHugh for getting there. That's an old house and that house. Now I see that yellow house was a family house. Now that's going to be business. That one right there.
Which one is that?
It's right, almost right across from the drugstore and up a little bit on the left. That nice, pretty yellow bit. That's called the Bissell House, too. You know where the Litchfield Bank is?
Yes.
It was right next to it going down.
So oh,
right yellow.
It's on Main Street.
Lots of bother you.
No,
yes, it's right on Main Street. Mr. Tenure, the community service, owned it up until now, and then he sold it to some people, and it's going to be a business.
Oh.
The offices again.
Well, if they do not change the outside.
Yeah, like the Litchfield Bank, I will give them credit. They do.
That's beautiful.
I know.
Yes.
But then you got the telephone building, that's an empty building, nobody's there. And I hope they don't come up further now. Because if you once get in, like Cecil House, before you know it'd be the Tompkins House and then all the way up.
And yeah.
It'd be awful. I don't like it.
Yes. Well, right now the Main Street is charming.
Yeah, I think so too.